VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the eyes of the nation have been turned to Kenosha, Wisconsin, covering the shooting of Jacob Blake by a Kenosha police officer. There's been a lot of information gained since those multiple seconds long video was released. Just a week ago, we had two additional individuals that were killed during the violent rioting and protest. And since that time, President Donald Trump has visited Kenosha along with the Attorney General. Today, former Vice President Joe Biden landed in Milwaukee holding a meeting with the family of Jacob Blake. Well, addressing this in the matter of civil unrest, a nation in violence, from a spiritual perspective, we'd like to welcome back to Crosstalk Richard Schmidt. He is a former sheriff of Milwaukee County, where he served for some 32 years in different capacities in the sheriff's office. Now pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Union Grove, Wisconsin. Also heads prophecy-focused ministries. Speaker on the TV program, WVCY Television, entitled Prophecy Focus. Rich, nice to have you back with us here.
Well, Jim, I'm so excited to be here. It's unprecedented times. We're seeing things like I've never thought like we'd see in our state. And I appreciate you having me on, and I think we got a whole lot to talk about today.
We really do, and I think it's important that with this litany of topics that, and some of these topics will seem kind of varied, but they all tie together here. I'd like to have a discussion. We know that there's been a lot of scrutiny on law enforcement around the country in particular, and before we talk about Kenosha and the scrutiny, let's talk about the establishment of civil government to begin with. Where does this come from? Not only government, but civil authority in itself. Where does this stem from?
Well, you know, it's interesting because most people really don't understand that actually God himself is the one that initiated civil government. We go back to Genesis chapter 9, specifically verses 5 and 6. Noah had just gotten his family, if you will, off the ark, and God is setting the stage, if you will, as to how civil unrest, murder specifically, violence against humans should be treated. And if you don't mind, I'll just quickly read the verse. It says, "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I'll require it, from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." Now, just so we don't get this out of context, what God was simply saying, he was laying the groundwork. If someone murders someone, they're to be held accountable by, if you will, human beings or civil government. So we go way back almost, you know, thousands of years ago, God established government for the sake of protecting people.
Is that simply only an Old Testament concept?
No, certainly not. This idea of God has always placed people in authority. He's put leadership people in authority. In fact, if we went to a very familiar passage, Romans chapter 13, the Bible makes it very clear, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. He's not talking about Christian leaders here in context. God has raised up governments. Now, I know there's going to be pluses and minuses. That's a big conversation regarding is government doing right or wrong, and that certainly from a Christian perspective is something that generates a lot of discussion. But the bottom line is God did institute human government for the protection of people.
All across this nation, we are seeing rebellion against the civil government now. There's the civil unrest. We see civil authority that's under attack. And the view of many rioters is that every law enforcement officer is bad. All officers are racist. All officers need to be challenged and removed. Would you comment on this rebellion against law enforcement today?
Well, you know, Jim, it's no, I guess, mystery that there is a strong, strong anti-authority culture that's just going through America. What we've seen in our school systems, what we see with our parental raising even, and there's this unfortunate anti-government, anti-authority rhetoric that's been going on. And now we're seeing the results of when you start to train people to rebel against authority. Now that's where we raise up the ante, if you will, to where we're having these horrific riots. people are destroying property right and left. Folks are thinking it's okay to beat other people up, to cause chaos, to wreck things. It all stems from a very simple principle. People are rejecting the authority that God originally put in place.
This is really a hallmark of socialism, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're just seeing this permeate our society right now.
Are there bad officers out there?
Well, Jim, unfortunately, there can always be someone bad in any profession. 99.9% of the law enforcement officers, and as you stated, I was in law enforcement for 33 years, they're good, honest, they put their life on the line every single day. They put on the badge, they go out into the streets, and they truly do want to love, serve, and protect people. On occasion, does someone get into the profession that quite frankly shouldn't be? Yes, unfortunately, that's true. But again, that is the, if you will, the bad egg in the bunch. 99% of the eggs are good folks.
I know that with your extensive law enforcement background, I'm confident, since even you've retired as sheriff of Milwaukee County, that you have many, many contacts within law enforcement, not only locally, but across the nation as well. How would you describe the morale of law enforcement today across the nation?
Well, Jim, you know, we've seen this in the past. Several years ago, we went through a similar situation where law enforcement was really getting pummeled by the public. It's so, so difficult for officers who want to do the right thing, but now every single thing they do, they know they're being judged, they know they're being watched and filmed. They know that even if it's the correct maneuver or correct thing that they're doing, it could get spun. So it's horrifically tough on the law enforcement community. They want to do right, but quite frankly, they're like walking on eggs. They're skittish. They're concerned. And rightly so, because if they make a wrong move, even if it's technically right, if it's perceived as something by the public that's inappropriate, they know they're going to be in huge trouble.
Many prominent Democrats right now are blaming President Trump for this violence. They're blaming him for the riots. They're blaming him for the lootings, the uprisings on the street. We had Congressman Adam Schiff just say the president is willfully fanning the flames of this violence. Amy Klobuchar said we are not safe in Donald Trump's America. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, that's about as ridiculous of a statement as I've ever heard. President Trump, and I'm going to go to Kenosha if we can for a moment on this. What was taking place right here in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, was out of control, rioting, pillaging, burning buildings. And unfortunately, and I'm just being honest, it's nothing everybody hasn't seen. The law enforcement community, the National Guard, the governor himself, they didn't, if you will, escalate to meet the threat that was taking place. President Trump, and there's two people that I want to give credit to, Congressman Brian Stile, who's a congressman part of Kenosha. He represents Kenosha, and this is from his mouth. I've read it, and I've also heard it from him, that he had to get on the phone. He called the president multiple times. He had to go through multiple different ways to finally get to the president. The president talked to him, and he begged the president to send in additional federal troops, if you will, or the National Guard, federal resources to get Kenosha under control. President Trump responded, called Governor Evers, as I think the folks listening know, that didn't go real well at first. The governor wasn't real keen on supporting anything the president did.
He refused it.
Absolutely refused it. So, but fortunately, that did go to a different level, and Governor Evers finally, if you will, succumbed to, I think, mm-hmm. the pressure. Two people are killed in Kenosha. He realizes we're out of control. We need to do something.
More businesses were destroyed. The flames were intense in Kenosha. We got livelihoods. We've got all kinds of mayhem breaking forth. Then he relented.
Right. And, you know, I'm just thankful, Jim, that finally, fortunately, it only took 2 days to get this thing switched around. But 2 days cost millions and millions of dollars in damage. It cost people their businesses. It cost people their lives. It put people in the hospital. And this is what happens when, quite frankly, law and order is rejected, authority is rejected, and we go to anarchy.
Joe Biden criticized President Trump for coming here to Milwaukee, for coming so soon. The president was here Tuesday. Now, 48 hours later, Joe Biden is here.
Well, Jim, again, and as a pastor, I try to keep as close to staying with the Bible, staying with mm-hmm. God's principles. But, you know, we just have to, even as pastors and as people serving God, we've got to be real honest about the politics that's taking place here. You have to put your head in the sand like an ostrich not to realize these are political things. The president came after he's the one that got things moving, got the National Guard here, and got things settled down literally overnight once he stepped in. His opponent, if you will, decides all of a sudden now that it's appropriate for him to, if you will, as has been stated by the media, come out of the basement that he said he'd stay in for 10 days and realizes he's in massive political trouble if he doesn't get himself out mm-hmm. here and deal with it. So I'm just being honest. It's nothing everybody listening doesn't already know. It's the elephant in the room. We see what's taking place.
Sure. And now there's a get tough on this violence that we're hearing from Vice President Joe Biden, and it still calls into question his running mate, who was in advocating for bailing out those who were involved in riots and protests across the country. Pastor Schmidt, how do we get situations like this under control? And you come from the unique position of having been in law enforcement, but also in ministry. But how do we get situations like this under control? Portland has been going for over 90 days. The mayor is just waiting for, he said, we're waiting for this violence to burn out as if people are going to lose interest. We have a report from a Kenosha businessman saying everybody just watched it burn to ashes. Nobody did nothing about it. Nothing. He lost $2.5 million of destruction. He said the damage is done. The trauma is horrific here. How do we get these under control? Do they just burn out by themselves?
Well, absolutely not. What absolutely must happen, and I got to go back to Genesis chapter 9. Why did God initiate human government? It's to protect the people. As a Christian, as a pastor, as someone who's had a little bit of leadership, here's the thing. Law enforcement, the government has to step up. They've got to intervene. They've got to hold people accountable. When the first, if you will, signs of a riot or civil unrest takes place, it's time for the police, it's time for the government to up the ante big time. It's a matter of force. The bigger the crowd, the more law enforcement there, the less likely it's going to implode into a riot like took place in Kenosha. They waited too long. 2 days was 2 days too many. First day of the civil unrest, the National Guard should have been up. I would have suggested that the local law enforcement agency should have put out a call to all the Wisconsin agencies that they need what's called a smart call-up, get all these other agencies in there, federal help, state help, local help. That's what government is instituted to do.
Pastor Rich Schmidt with us here today on Crosstalk. We're discussing a nation in violent turmoil. What's the solution? Well, we're going to be talking further about that, as well as learning how has this impacted the congregation here of Pastor Schmidt, as his church is located not far from where this unraveled. And so we're going to be getting involved with that here in just a moment as well. We're also going to be hearing from the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, who spoke in Kenosha this past Tuesday. And we'll hear what he had to say on the matter as well. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has anyone found water on Mars?
Chris, it's common for evolutionists to claim that Mars used to be covered with water. And they have found some indirect evidences for water, but the polar ice caps, which are the most likely source of the water, they're composed of carbon dioxide. They've also found some geographical features that look like lakes or riverbeds or floodplains. Chris, even if they do find evidence for water on Mars, that's no problem. They're hoping that if they find water, they'll find life. And that'll prove that life is nothing special, that it happens by natural processes. But that's not true. Life is unimaginably complex. It needs a creator. And when we read about him and his creation back in Genesis, he doesn't mention Mars.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is one who's not only been involved in law enforcement for, should I say, a third of a century, but also actively engaged in ministry for just as long and even longer, being involved in ministry now, full-time pastoring at Union Grove Baptist Church. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But we know that that Rich Schmidt is our guest today. We know there's been a lot of great civil unrest in Kenosha, and William Barr, the Attorney General, came to the area with President Trump. And we're going to air this clip. I want you to hear what he had to say. Our guest will comment on this. But specifically, I want you to hear how he refers to those who travel to the area to commit violence. And that's one of the things we're seeing is people that are going from community to community to agitate and to be involved in the violence as well. Here is Attorney General William Barr.
We were picking up information that these violent instigators were coming to Kenosha. They were coming from California, Washington State, a lot from Chicago, and they were coming up to Kenosha. So we expected matters to get worse. The violence that erupted shortly after the shooting is simply not a legitimate response to a police shooting. And the looting and the arson were unacceptable. And as it progressed, it became more and more distant from the issue of racial justice. It was violence for violence's sake. And once again, we saw the hijacking of a protest by a hardcore group of radicals who were carrying out, planning a coordinated violent attack on law enforcement, on public property, and on private property. And that can't be tolerated. But these are the same people, many of them who came from out of town. Out of 175 arrests, 100 were from out of town. And these are the same people using the same tactics that have been used in various cities, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Chicago, now Kenosha, Portland. And they use these black bloc tactics, throwing projectiles at police, and literally trying to inflict injuries on police, arson, and rioting. They came equipped, as even the mayor of Washington acknowledged, they come equipped to fight. And it's completely unacceptable, and the state is the first line of defense. If local leaders are committed to keeping the public safe, it can be done. And while it was slow in getting off the starting block, this is an example that when you have the local political leadership backing the police, you have the state willing to put in the resources in terms of National Guard, and the federal government able to come up with support such as the FBI, the Marshals, and ATF, who have some special skills and forensic ability to help, there will be peace on the streets. And there's going to be accountability. What people don't see is that in all of these cities, there are task forces of federal and state officers reviewing all the video that we can get our hands on. And when we are able to identify people who committed crimes in these riots, going all the way back to the beginning, whether they're burning police cars or throwing rocks at people, which are deadly, they will be prosecuted. That's a large-scale effort, and it's going to continue.
Pastor Schmidt.
Well, I have to comment how gracious he was in the way he made his comments, which are spot on. When he's outlining exactly the issues, all of these law enforcement agencies, when they're combined, when they're put together, when they're cohesive and working together, wonderful things will happen for public safety. That's exactly what took place. I really appreciate how gracious he was as he kind of left out the first couple of days when those things weren't taking place. I thought that was extremely gracious of him. And then he states, all right, when we finally put the rubber to the road, when we finally got our agencies, federal, state, and local, on the same page, realizing that Kenosha was going literally up in smoke, things happen. Folks, that's exactly what it takes to stop anarchy and stop chaos in any city, is exactly what took place on that Wednesday, literally just a week ago, to change the tenor of the society that was going upside down.
You pastor in Union Grove. That's not too distant from where this took place in Kenosha, Wisconsin. How has your church been impacted by this?
Well, you know, we've got a wonderful, wonderful group of folks in there from literally multiple counties. We have people from Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha County that come to our church. The folks specifically in Kenosha County, when this broke out a couple of weeks, a little over a week ago, they were calling me on the phone. They're like, Pastor, you know, we're concerned about what's taking place. I want to protect my property, but I want to protect my family. And it's like, should I stay here and literally hold a gun at my front door? Should I get my family out? I had multiple calls like that. People just absolutely scared about what was going on. And it's no way for anyone to live. I don't care where they live. That should never happen. So what's the end results? People, God's people, who want to do the right thing, they didn't want to break curfews, didn't want to do anything unlawful, they're scared, they're wondering what to do. That's, of course, no one wants to live with that type of fear. I want to say this. Virtually all folks that were in Kenosha County came to church, and we actually called the Kenosha Sheriff's Office and said, listen, we have an evening service. Our folks will be coming home. They won't come to church if you say they're going to get arrested for, if you will, driving a little bit, you know, about half an hour after curfew was ended. But they're very gracious about that, so I want to commend the Kenosha Sheriff's Office for that and allowing folks to get back and forth to church. But our folks were scared, plain and simple.
When we see all this going on in the communities around us, and it's happening more and more all over this nation, what should be the response of the church in such a time as this?
Well, again, I want to go back to the absolute biblical basis. God's word makes it very clear. Civil unrest is not an appropriate response to a situation. If there's indeed something that has been done wrong, that it's inappropriate, if a police officer literally did take an improper action, all right, we have ways to address that. The real peaceful protests, all for it. I have no problem with people protesting, but the violence, bringing folks in from around the country, bringing in anarchists from around the country, burning down buildings, hurting people, shooting people, wrecking property and businesses, that's not an appropriate response. That's what government, again, we have the right from our First Amendment rights. We can talk to government. We can make our complaints and make them very clear, and we should, and I've encouraged our people to do that. If you see something that's inappropriate, that you believe is wrong on based on your Christian or ethical stance, I encourage you, get a hold of the government, give them your positions, and that's exactly what our folks are doing.
Many may not realize, but also at this meeting Tuesday with President Trump was the pastor of Pastor James Ward. He is from Insight Church, the pastor of the Blake family, and Jacob Blake family, we understand, not of the father, but of the mother, Julia Jackson. But at this meeting, President Trump actually asked Pastor James Ward to lead in prayer and just wanted us to hear that prayer. Most across the nation are not familiar that this actually did take place.
Pastors, would you like to say a prayer?
Yes, sir.
I'd love to have that because you are so highly thought of in the area. So please, James, share.
Sure. You should pray.
Please.
Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this time that you've divinely ordained. Father, we ask you to forgive us all where we've strayed from your ways and where we've not acknowledged your word. We ask that you would continue to cause this nation to be one nation under God, that you alone are the one who can make us indivisible. And by being indivisible, there will be liberty and justice for all. We simply pray that you would bring our nation back to you, that your word would be dominant, that you would cause us to walk in love, to live in love, restore empathy and compassion, kindness, concern for each other. Lord, I pray for our president, as your word says, that you would strengthen him and continue to give him the wisdom and the heart to lead during this time, as well as all of the leaders that are here. We give ourselves to you, and we ask you for your good hand to be upon us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Really is time to turn our attention heavenward, isn't it?
Well, it is an amen to the prayer. And, I was so impressed by that. I did actually see the video clip of this a day ago. And the president, I mean, he just looks over, sincere as can be, and says, you know, brother, would you pray for us?
Yeah.
And I was so impressed by that. Folks, that's the kind of thing, and as a pastor myself, when the president of the United States looks at a pastor and says, listen, would you please pray for us? I don't take that as, of course, some will come up with, well, it was a political ploy. No, it was no political ploy.
No.
I strongly believe the president honestly believes God can change things. Folks, government does not change the heart. Only God can.
I'd like to air just one more clip from Pastor Ward, and this is shortly after he prayed, he made another statement to the president. Let's listen in.
And Mr. President, if I may add, being the only pastors in the room, if I could maybe just share a little bit from a different perspective that I think would bring balance. I have a great friend who is Chief Tony Scarpelli, the chief of police in the town where our church is.
Right.
And I talk about the partnership between pastors and police, and I often tell Tony that if we can do our job well, it will make his job easier. That's because there are three types of law that govern a society. There's spiritual law, moral law, and civil law. Most of the conversation here today has been about civil law, but until we can really focus on spiritual and moral law and change the hearts of people, we'll have to continue to build bigger jails and bigger prisons until we can bring our nation back to the place of spiritual and moral law. We certainly want to honor Julia Jackson. We're her pastors. We're not the pastor of the entire family, but
please,
we honor her.
You know that.
Yes, sir. I will give her your
you know
regards.
That. Thank you.
And we certainly pray for Jacob's continued healing, and we pray for peace. But I just want to offer to you, Mr. President, that Jesus himself says, blessed are the peacemakers. And we want to help be of service to you and to our nation of having these conversations of how do we rebuild the foundations of spirituality and morality, which gives us the context of love. If you give a righteous, good, moral man the launch codes to our nuclear arsenal, everyone will be safe because he's a good man. But if you give a malicious man who is immoral an ink pen, you have to fear for your life. I would just want to say that we're here to be of service to you and to our country to bring unity. We believe that we can help to listen with empathy and compassion to the real pain that hurts Black Americans. But we want to be of service to you and to our nation to do whatever we can to bring true healing, true peace, and to really see God's very best in our nation. We're here available. We're available anytime you will call upon us.
So you know what I think? I think you're an incredible couple. I really do. I think you're an incredible couple.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Really, really great. Beautiful.
Okay, so he spoke, talked about moral law as well as civil law.
So spot on, and really now he's hitting to the passion of my heart, which is, again, as I stated right before you played that, government cannot change the heart, only God can.
Mm-hmm.
After I left law enforcement, I now believe I'm involved in something exponentially more important than law enforcement, which is what can change the heart of people? Well, it's getting the gospel out. Being that VCY, Christian radio station, this is the answer to the world's problems. Mm-hmm. When all of God's people get on fire for God, get the gospel out, that's when things are going to change.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor Rich Schmidt is our guest today. And we're going to also approach this whole notion of the defunding of police after the break. And then we'll be opening some phone lines here as well. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations, it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you ever vote for someone who was for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
So you're going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
What was the compelling question to change people's minds on abortion? From Ray Comfort comes the DVD, 180.
180.
Featuring street interviews in which people who were pro-abortion changed 180 degrees to pro-life.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
180 is available for a donation to VCY of just $5. 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 180.
Thank you.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and we have with us former Milwaukee County Sheriff and now pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Richard Schmidt, who is with us today talking about a nation in violent turmoil and what is the solution to all of this. For those of you who'd like to be in contact, there are a couple of websites that you can focus in regarding his ministries. As pastor of the church, it's My Union Grove Baptist, is that correct?
Yes, myuniongrovebaptist.com, or there's a smaller acronym, just myugbc, stand for Union Grove Baptist Church.com, myugbc.com, or also through VCY, of course, we have our prophecyfocusministries.com, and through either venue, we'll be happy to talk and reach out to folks.
Okay. And again, Rich Schmidt with us today. I know you were on with us earlier this summer addressing this matter of defunding police. Further thoughts on this? Because we're seeing that cry coming up in a number of communities across the nation. We're just going to redirect these resources, repurpose the funds, reimagine our police departments right now. Let's send social workers off to domestic disturbances and so forth. After we've seen a few months of this now, your further thoughts on this matter of defunding police?
Well, I think the American public is more than wise when it comes to this. All you have to do is look at the news. When you go to Portland, Oregon, what happens when you don't pull in the National Guard, when you don't use strong police force? You allow anarchy to take place over, and I forget the number, we're closing in on 90-plus days of absolute anarchy, destruction in Portland. 2 days of anarchy in Kenosha, met with force, if you will, met with strong police presence, federal, state, and law, local law enforcement, including the National Guard. In 2 days, everything is calm. The curfew's gone. Law and order restored. Folks, to defund the police, to take them off the street, you can just make America Portland, Oregon.
Yes, and that's what the intent of some is to make America, Portland, Oregon. Matter of fact, just hours ago, just a few hours before this program, we were recipients of an email from a group called Refuse Fascism. And they announced that this Saturday, they're calling for a nationwide protest, 24 cities, to demand Trump Pence out now. September 5th, here's what they say. We must make a living declaration to the world that we are uniting, we are organizing, we are determined, we are prepared to struggle with all we've got, starting now and not stopping until the Trump-Pence regime is driven from power and its fascist program brought to a halt. That is Andy Z from Refuse Fascism. And September 5th, they're saying take to the streets. And they call out New York City, Atlanta, Aurora, Illinois, Boston, Charlotte, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Honolulu, Houston, Huntsville, Alabama, Inverness, Florida, Kansas City, Missouri, Lansing, Los Angeles, Orlando, Philadelphia, Portland, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, St. Louis, Tulsa, and Washington, D.C.
Gee, that's it?
That's for this Saturday.
Right. All right. So what is this? We're looking at, if you will, the underground world that's trying to cause an absolute revolution in our country. What are they trying to do? Take out law enforcement, take out conservative values. As the pastor said, diminish spiritual, moral, and civil law, and just have anarchy. Why? Because they prefer to go to Walmart, break the windows in, and steal everything to clothe themselves. They prefer to go to the local car dealership, burn down what they don't want, take the keys to what they do want, and write it off without paying for it. This anarchy has to stop. It's time that the silent majority of America rise up and make it very clear, enough's enough, we're tired of this, we won't stand for it.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, folks, we'd like to get your reaction to this matter here today. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff, now Pastor Rich Schmidt with us, a nation in violent turmoil. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. I mean, this past Saturday, there was what was called, it was to be a peaceful march and rally in Kenosha. Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes spoke at this, but also was a speaker up there on the platform with others. They referred to him as our president. And he made this bold declaration, if you kill one of us, it's time for us to kill one of yours. Doesn't sound too peaceful.
It's absolute anarchy. It's chaos. It's violent rhetoric. These are the type of things. And again, how do we stop this systemic issue that's taking place? Folks, this is the screaming loud minority, if you will, that's trying to take over America and make it an anarchist country. I think we know better than that, and I can see the phone lines are flying open because people know this is not the way to go.
Let's begin in Madison, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your show. I got in on the later part of it, but I just have a comment and a quick question. As a Marine and being in a military police and a corrections officer, I find it very hard to understand why if I'm speeding, I'll get a ticket. Well-deserved. If I don't have my seatbelt on, I get pulled over. Yet law enforcement watches these crimes happen. They see the bricks flying. They see the arson. They stand down and do nothing and then look for the videos after the fact. I would throw down my badge and say, you can have my job. I'm going in. This is going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening?
Okay, thank you,
gentlemen.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, there's one word is why it's happening. It's called leadership. When you have leadership in government and those that, I mean, you take a stance, President Trump, bam, he responds, he got things done. When you go into specific counties or law enforcement that has a leader, a sheriff, a police chief, people that are saying enough's enough and they'll take action, that's when you see things change. And this gentleman is exactly right on. When you have poor leadership, you get poor results.
And this sometimes the command is coming from City Hall, stand down.
Absolutely. It's a matter of leadership. The officers will get the job done, but they've got to be allowed to do it by the leadership.
Let's go to Upper Michigan. Jim, you're on the air.
Brother Jim and Brother Pastor Sheriff, Sheriff, I'd like to thank you for your service, both in law enforcement and in the pulpit. I'm brought to Ephesians 6:12. I don't think I need to read that on the air for everybody, but you know, this is not a struggle against flesh and blood.
Right.
And if there was ever a time in our nation for fervent prayer and revival, that time is now.
Amen.
I cannot see any other long-term solution to this issue we are facing. I fear November will bring even more chaos. But we all need to get on our knees and pray fervently and bring the Spirit of Christ and of our God back into this nation. Thank you, folks, for this show. You guys are doing remarkable work, and God bless you.
Thank you, Jim. Pastor.
Well, I'll tell you, thank you so much, because you're right on the money. When God's people will humble themselves, pray, seek the Lord, stop sitting in our pews just sucking in the good information and get out of our pews, tell other folks the gospel, spread the good news of Jesus Christ, folks, that's when we will see a revolution of the good type.
Now, you talked about this being a spiritual battle, and I'm reminded of John 10 that tells us about the thief that comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Absolutely. Just one other quick verse. Boy, I love that one. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those who are lost. That's our mission as God's church, to get out there and get that gospel out there about Jesus Christ.
We're going to Racine, Wisconsin next, and Whiting is calling. You're on the air. Weldon, that is.
Yes, I'm a combat veteran from Korea.
Thank you.
And I agree with what the police are doing. I wanted to be a policeman. I didn't shape up. I couldn't shape up. I wasn't physically able to do that. But the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And it's time to look at these people as they are. And I'm afraid it will come to that, whether or not we like it or not.
Thank you, Weldon. Sharon from Winthrop Harbor, Illinois, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wanting to see if I could mention a tent revival we're having on State Line Road. Today is the first day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's a revival to bring the gospel. The Lord put it on Scott Lee's heart. He's an evangelist to have this tent revival.
Yeah.
It'll be going on every weekend at 120 North in Winthrop Harbor, Illinois.
Okay.
Every weekend, Thursday through Saturday, until the Lord says to stop.
Okay, that's right on the border between Wisconsin and Illinois. Thank you for the call. Richard in Eau Claire, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Jim. Hello, Pastor Schmidt and ex-Sheriff Schmidt. I sure enjoy your conversation today. And I may have missed it, but Sheriff, or Pastor, what's your view on fellow pastors of Christian churches not refusing in their boards and refusing to open up their doors for worship services, leaning completely on TV and video streaming and all that sort of thing?
I tell you what, we're going to have a response to that. It's really not our topic where we're going today, but a quick response here.
Well, very simply, I know I'm not going to criticize or judge the other pastors. I'll just tell you what I'm doing. You come to Union Grove Baptist Church, the doors are open. We're in full swing ministry, and we're full speed ahead.
Okay, thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. West Allis, Wisconsin. Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi. I want to address, I guess, the flip side of the coin. All the suggestions for reform and ideas are finger-pointed at the police and the law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
But if a person wants to do a real list, make a list of your own behavior, look at your own conduct. When you leave, before you leave the house in the morning, determine, I will do nothing against the law today. I will not break a car window. I will not steal from that man. I'm not going to help myself to anything that doesn't belong to me. I won't hit anybody in anger. And ask God to give you strength. Even if you are not a Christian, that is a time to turn and say, I need help because I've done these things, etc. The things you encounter, you may encounter the criminal who that day is going to attack you. But
okay.
Resolve not to do those things to other people.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for that. Pastor, she's talking about personal accountability, personal responsibility. We should be aghast at such a thought.
Well, Kathy, God bless you. If all people would do exactly what you just said, when the police tell you to do something, regardless of whether you like what they're asking you to do or not, do it and simply obey authority, that you'd stop all of this stuff that's been going on around the country. If people would just obey and settle down, eat crow for why the police are talking to them, be civil, you never have a problem.
Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, Ashtabula, Ohio. Mary, you're on the air.
Okay, well, I am burning up inside because I just can't get through to anyone. People need to get the Holy Spirit or something.
When you say you're not getting through, Mary.
I've been reading, going along with the Bible every day, the 365 days a year. And everything that's happening is happening right now, but people just aren't listening.
Listening to what God's Word has to say on this issue, I believe we could firmly agree with you on that point. And we need to get back into God's Word to hear what God has to say for us today. Proper living, so important. Up against a break. Thank you, Mary. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There appears to be an economic collapse happening globally. There appears to be geopolitical issues occurring globally that are not good. There is the rattling of savers with Russia and China. So much that is happening. What is next? Perhaps what we need to be prepared for next is a complete and total collapse of evangelicalism as we know it. Satan's goal is to destroy the church. Thankfully, we know the gates of hell will not prevail. But sadly, recent news stories reveal to us that, once again, not all is as it seems in the evangelical world when it comes to the standards being followed or not followed by evangelical leaders. Don't be shocked in the coming years as more comes out about evangelical leaders. Satan desires for many to turn against the church and then to use those who have failed as a standard to say all Christians are frauds and then bring the persecution. Are you ready for persecution?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is former Milwaukee County Sheriff, now pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Richard Schmidt. And a couple points of contact. You can go to his church website and the abbreviation MyUGBC. That stands for Union Grove Baptist Church, MyUGBC.com, ProphecyFocus.com. And then also, if people wanted to reach out to you by phone, the best way to do so is?
Absolutely. My personal cell phone, and people are like, are you crazy giving out? I've been giving it out when I was sheriff. I'm still giving it out. It's 414-788-6010. And for Prophecy Focus, it's actually Prophecy Focus Ministries. So you have to add the word ministries.com.
ProphecyFocusMinistries.com. Let's get right back to the phone lines to the state of Florida. We have Amy calling. Hi, Amy. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a question. You made a comment a minute ago about it's time for the silent majority to stand up, take action against the things that are happening in our country. So I'd like for you to give practical examples. I mean, obviously we can pray, but I know a lot of people are afraid because we are opposing such violence. So what are some practical things that we could do to help out? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Well, Amy, that's a great thought. So there's multiple things that can be done. Number one is we bombard the media with positive comments and get our word out there. We do go promote shows like Crosstalk. Get the Christian radio out there. We do, as a church, put out flyers and emails and use all the social media outlets possible to get out the positive message that some of the liberal media refuses to get out there. So every possible outlet, newspapers, radio, television, any place we can possibly, whether it won't be as big as the mainline media, but folks, we can use our voice, we can make it known, and we need to get it out there.
Being sure they're informed and voting in this November election is critical?
Boy, is that ever critical, mm-hmm. folks. I hear people say, well, let God worry about who's getting in office. Well, God does worry about who gets in office because it tells us in Romans 13 that he puts the right people in. But God uses people to cast those votes.
Let's go to Texas. Eddie is calling. Hi, Eddie. You're on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Brother Jim, I just want to comment. And thank you, Dr. Smith, with your walk with the Lord. I just want to comment on that. I don't recall where exactly what town it happened, but how these people launched that metal frisbee that hit that officer trying to get on his unit, just knocked him cold out, and how people were just rejoicing about it. You can hear all the people in the back laughing, and how this police officer was trying to get up, you know, from that blunt, from that object that was launched at him and hit him in the back of his neck. I mean, about defunding the police, how can you justify that? I just can't believe that. That's my comment.
Yeah. Thank you for your comment here today. And there it is. It's as if this is some kind of video game taking out officers through the throwing of bricks or cement, water bottle, or whatever it may be.
Right. It's just total anarchy. It's a lack of respect for human life itself. Don't care who it is. I don't like them, so I'm going to injure them. Absolutely wrong, spiritually, moral, and ethically wrong.
Let's go to Springfield, Missouri. We have Mike calling. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Brother Jim, Pastor. See, you know, I recall, and it's in the Book of Proverbs about judgment being executed speedily. And our justice system lacks in that many times. But my main question is that the lady previous here called, and what can we do? How do we remove these leaders, the leadership, from their position? I mean, can we write up petitions, get them petitions signed to have them removed or recalled? Or what can we do about this in these cities? And the other thing I wanted to comment on, and I'll hang up after this, is that, you know, we often as Christians wait until something serious or a crisis arises when we should always be praying and not just and not just when these things arise. But I know it's in our nature just to wait. So I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, I appreciate that, but it is time that God's people take a stand. Multiple ways that can happen. If you watch those, and I have to go, some of the preachers that have national audiences, good preachers, not fake preachers that are sending out a false narrative gospel, if you watch those in leadership and we support those types of people with good, solid radio, television ministries, good media outlets and things like that, we can get this message resounding. I would call those individuals, give them your support, and it's just a matter. VCY America, this is a key component in getting out the message that needs to get out. Every possible venue, again, like Kathy, the caller, stated, we need to use every possible method to get the good news out.
Let's go to Mobile, Alabama, and Monica, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I was just wondering, who is paying these people, these anarchists, to travel around the country and loot and destroy? Are there any big corporations that you know of that are funding these
Thank you, Monica.
People.
Thank you for the question.
Well, this is the literal multi-million dollar question. I listened to a from the Department of Justice a little bit before we went on air today, and there are, if you will, individuals with very large purse strings, if you will, that are under investigation. They won't go and say specifically who they are at this point. But if you watch politics and you understand who has the money and who holds the purse strings and who causes the anarchy, it's not too hard to figure out. So we'll just have to let the justice system take their course. Yes, there are people funding these things. I have watched money exchange hands at events where people have been paid to come in and cause problems. We have seen it. So it's there. And we just have to let the justice system take its course. Unfortunately, it's slow, but that's the only remedy.
Thank you, Monica, for your call. And we're just seconds from the end of the program, and I apologize to those on hold yet. We'll not be able to take your call, but 30 seconds, what do you want to leave with our listeners?
Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come." Folks, here's what I admonish you to do, please. God's people need to be out there telling other folks the greatest news ever given to mankind, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Get the gospel out. Don't be afraid to take a stand. Churches have to rise up. Instead of closing the doors, let's rise up, not in anarchy, but get the message out there. Be strong in our faith. Don't hold back. Let your position be known.
Thank you, Pastor Rich, for being with us today. And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.